Our lesson from the Gospel this morning comes to us from Luke's Gospel. Comes to us from the second chapter, beginning with the 41st verse. We have rapidly progressed from celebrating the birth of the Christ child to an adolescent Jesus in this passage. Listen now for God's word to us. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of this. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Luke might have fancied himself writing an orderly account, as he states at the beginning of his gospel, but I'm sure he didn't get the complete rundown on things, especially in this situation. Imagine, if you will, the lost words of Mary, what she, like any mother panicked over a missing child, might have uttered beyond, "Look, your father and I have been searching for you with great anxiety." "Jesus of Nazareth, who in heaven's name do you think you are? You have some nerve wandering off to the temple when you knew that we would all be leaving for home 3 days ago. You get to attend your first Passover with the adults, and what do? Hang back and nearly give us heart attacks when we can't find you and have to turn around and search, hoping you haven't been kidnapped or worse. Dad thought you were with me, and I thought you were with him. Would have it killed you to ask for permission to stay an extra day or three? It's not like we haven't sacrificed for you before. I had to sit on the back of that blessed rickety donkey for days while I carried you in my womb. You think that was a picnic? I told your father that we should have started off a little earlier, but did he listen? No. And wouldn't you know that all of the inns were booked? And I had to give birth to you in a stable, swaddle your shivering little behind and prop you up in a manger and play host to those pesky shepherds. Ugh! Don't you roll your eyes at me." The boy Jesus is a paradox. Jesus is divine, the Son of God. Jesus is human, the son of Mary and stepson of Joseph. It seems impossible that these two things should hold true at the same time in one being, but the Christian claim is that in Jesus they do. This account demonstrates how elusive an understanding of Jesus as paradox really is. His reply to his mother reflects this plainly. "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Or, if he were a 12-year-old today, "Bruh!" Their confusion rings clearly even today, especially considering that back then, Mary and Joseph didn't even benefit from knowing the punchline, how this would all end, that Jesus would be killed at age 33 and be raised from the dead, proving his triumph over sin and death and human frailty, that his life and his ministry, filled with the miracles of healing and wholeness, would prove publicly his godliness. As we can get lost in the vortex of paradox, swimming round and round, imagining the implications of what the gospel leaves unsaid, if, as the verse preceding this account that we heard this morning declares, the boy Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom and with favor of God upon him, then why? Why would he separate himself from his mom and his earth dad, thus triggering their panic? Wouldn't a compassionate son of God know better? And instead of the whole, "Why were you searching for me?" bit, why wouldn't he just apologize and leave it at that? These are some thought-provoking questions to which we'll never know the answer. Yet the text begs bigger questions of us. The choking desperation that Mary and Joseph experienced is one that we know when we've lost sight of something precious. Such desperation is the deep longing in our souls when we lose sight of our source, when we forget how to pray or even what the point of praying was in the first place. It's when the Bible no longer seems to speak to us, or when the act of worship leaves us thirsty and unsatisfied. It's when nothing beyond the monotonous trudge of the job, the errand to the grocery store, or the stretch across the bed to set the alarm clock seems real. We're just like Mary and just like Joseph when we happen upon ourselves and our own situations and realize that somehow, somewhere, we have lost sight of Jesus. How in the world could we lose Jesus? Complacency is our Achilles heel. A foolproof way for losing Jesus is when we assume that it's somebody else's responsibility to keep an eye on him, even in our own lives. It's one thing to read a book or watch a movie about Bonhoeffer or Harriet Tubman or some other profile in spiritual depth, devotion, and service. It's another thing entirely to carve out our own consistent time with God in prayer. to offer up our own time to serve hot meals to the hungry and the over-colonized, or to walk meditatively in nature with God, or to crack open our own Bibles or click on those Bible apps to discover words of hope or help or challenge. When we give ourselves over to the spiritual exercise of following Jesus, we enter into a relationship with Jesus. And we all know, of course, that relationships, be they marriage or friendships or business partnerships or any other, take work. They require attention and interest and personal investment. If we sacrifice any one of these things, we become disconnected and our relationships start to unravel. When we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, when we acknowledge the presence of Jesus as a part interwoven into our very being, when we claim Jesus as our Lord, we face the challenge of making it our priority to tend to our end of the relationship. And yet, there are so very many distractions. Even dedicated events we celebrate in honor of God can distract us from developing our relationships with God, ironically enough. Here's a challenge. Think back to the beginning of last week. Recall the amount of time spent finding the Christmas ornaments in the attic, standing in line at the gift wrap counter, assembling someone's elaborate gift using instructions in a language that sounds like you're ordering from a European pastry menu or some other language that you barely recognize, yet much less understand. Now, compare that with the amount of time that you spent in prayer, or maybe reading the Psalms, or in service to something other than one's credit card limit. If you feel a little bit uneasy, you're not alone. Mary and Joseph were celebrating Passover when they lost Jesus. Swiftly moving through life in and of itself can cause us to lose Jesus. But when we're aware that we've lost sight of him, how and where can we find him? Well, Mary and Joseph looked all over the place and eventually stumbled upon Jesus in the temple, where the Father was, Jesus was also. Jesus always leads us to God. Even as a headstrong 12-year-old, he ends up pointing to the divine. Jesus basked in the company of those who grappled with the meaning of the scriptures, of the value of religious traditions. We might do well to find Jesus in those places where people gather to bring their questions and insights and inquiries about God to God and in the company of one another. One would hope that the church would provide such a place. And I would argue certainly that Fourth Church is one of those places, yet without question, it is not the only one. The world is filled with groups of people working and living together in the best ways they know how to dwell with God as they serve one another. It's in churches. It's in hospitals. It's in crisis shelters and playgrounds, homes. It's on the bread line. It's in the waiting room. We find Jesus amid those who lay out their hopes and dreams and doubts and certainties all before God and one another, where they seek right relationship with a God that is great and holds greater purpose for them. Purpose. God is the glue that led Jesus and Mary to their purposes at incredibly young ages. In the account, Mary evolves from anxiety and anger over that whole Jesus in the temple episode to treasuring all these things in her heart. What happened? Certainly the passage of years and hindsight, but perhaps she recognized the allure of the God who compelled her boy to the temple at age 12 as the same God who called a teenaged girl, likely around the same age of Jesus, to conceive and to give birth to a Savior. In the temple, in the presence of God, Jesus at age 12 both fit in and he stood out. There he found himself. He saw a glimpse of who he was and what he was meant to be. How could she deny him that wonder any more than she could say no to giving birth to him in the first place? The routines of life and the boyishness of the Messiah distracted Mary and Joseph from the bigger picture, but eventually finding Jesus and tending to him as he grew in wisdom and in stature before their very eyes renewed their focus. When and where we find Jesus, we too find our connection and our purpose. So do what you can. Any little measure of what you can to keep your eyes on Jesus in your life. But if or when you end up losing sight of him, don't panic. Just take a deep breath, step back, maybe close your eyes even, and imagine where you might be if you were him. Chances are you'll know exactly where to find him. Pray with me, please. Help us, O God, to both seek and find Jesus in the many clever ways that he reveals himself to us. Amen.